Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the number one New York Times bestselling author, Lisa Gardner, and she is out with a brand new novel. This one is called One Step Too Far. It is available everywhere, and it is a, I wouldn't say a follow-up, but it's another standalone novel involving this Frankie Elkin character that she graced us with a year or so ago, a do-gooder that helps find missing people who've been forgotten. And so, Lisa, when you wrote the original Frankie Elkin story, I loved the character. I thought it would make a great series. This isn't really a series, but how would you describe this second book involving the same character?
I have a hard time letting go. Let's see. I just really liked Frankie very much. And I think there's more to her story, but I think it's more the types of crimes she's investigating. These kind of missing persons cold cases that fall through the cracks. And the truth is, there's a lot of different avenues. So when we first meet her and before she disappeared, it's the more traditional case people think of the missing minority teenager that no one's really looking for, that a Haitian girl has gone missing. In One Step Too Far, and you're right, it's a bit standalone because it's just an entirely different situation. It's that, you know, there's almost 2,000 people that have gone missing on national public lands, basically our national parks, that also no one is looking for because they fall through the cracks. Once those initial search teams of 3 weeks are done, there's no one left in charge of getting closure for the family, of trying to find what happened next. And so these different scenarios just lend themselves well to Frankie while calling attention to some things I'm not sure everyone's aware of.
You know, you mentioned the number of people that go missing in national parks, and I don't remember if it was in the promotional materials or in the book I read this statistic. How many people go missing nationwide? Because it's a heck of a lot more than I ever expected.
Yeah, so John Billman wrote this great book called The Cold Vanish. And one of the interesting things is we don't actually know. There's no national database. There's nothing tracking this. They believe it's around 1,600. But, again, there is nothing that actually tracks this. And one of the things I love when I go to research a book, like One Step Too Far, is you generally uncover some stuff where, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. And in the case of people that go missing in basically the wildlands, the best source of statistics, and I am not making this up, comes from the National Bigfoot Association.
Bigfoot, as in...
They track anomalies. Yeah, they track anomalies in the woods. In fact, they are actually engaged in this comprehensive mapping project of all the disappearances that have ever happened. Because in their case, well, this could be a sign of, I guess, Yeti activity. But, I mean, some of this stuff, I have to admit, it blows your mind a little bit. It's like, wait, what? We all not only don't know how many people have gone missing, but the only people who might know who's gone missing are the Bigfoot hunters. Who, for the record, because Bigfoot Bob becomes one of my favorite characters in One Step Too Far, they often volunteer their services. Many of them are experts in the mountains in their backyard, and for missing person cases, for ongoing rescue. For 5 years later, we're still trying to find out what happened to our son. They're an excellent source of not just information, but will go out there and track those woods themselves.
The story here is about some fellas that were on a bachelor party excursion in a forest area of Wyoming, and I guess the male in me says, well, stick to the strip bars for a bachelor party. This is a cautionary tale, but, you know, the kind of set this up for us, because I don't want to give anything away, but I thought it was a great premise.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because many of the buddies in the bachelor party would agree with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Their buddy, Tim, who's getting married, he loves hiking and camping. It's what he did with his father growing up. One of the things I talk about, because I'm an avid hiker, is how accessible, family-friendly, the great outdoors are. You don't need a lot of money. You just need to have some adventurous spirit and hopefully some common sense. And so they head out for this. He is the most experienced of all of them. And so as things start going wrong, he's the one who's going to go for help. Well, in the end, he never shows up again. Honestly, the member of their group, if it did go, disappears, they actually find, but Tim's just gone. And so, as in many cases with missing persons in the woods, you know, volunteers assemble, National Guard helps out, dog teams come in, pilots, drones, there's all sorts of resources that come to bear. But they're all volunteer, and they all time out. So, as the book opens, It's just been too long. There's no one left to look for Tim anymore other than his father, who is determined, the buddies who feel so guilty, you know, they lost their friend on his weekend, and then we have a search and rescue dog handler and a guide into the Wyoming wilderness, and, you know, a Bigfoot hunter and Frankie. It makes perfect sense.
Now, Frankie doesn't have a lot of money, so she isn't somebody that people would naturally seek out, but she reads about these cases, and how does she endear herself to a family? Because this is an outsider coming in to help out, and people are naturally suspicious. What does she do to make herself want to be used?
What I think I love best about Frankie is of all the characters I've ever written, because I've done the FBI profilers and the, you know, Boston, the city detectives, and even Flora, who's a vigilante, Frankie's just us. She's an everyday person. She has no superpowers. She's not kick-ass. She's not badass. She is a little bit of a wise-ass. But mostly, she's an excellent listener. And she's just driven by a compulsion. She can't always explain, but probably has a lot to do with the fact that she is an addict, to engage in these cases. And what she will tell you is at the end of the day, listening is the superpower we've all forgotten about. People need to be heard. People are willing to talk to someone, often an outsider, more so than they feel like they can trust talking to the police. So her job is to basically just bully her way forward and insert herself, and then be patient and let people come to her. Just be there, keep her eyes open, her ears attentive, and interesting enough, she's the one that ends up connecting a lot of dots because she's there listening.
The last book with Frankie, the first one, and the previous book, I guess I should say, is that she's in Boston, and so, you know, you're in an urban area, and you can question witnesses and things like that. Can't do that in the wilderness, essentially, and so when you plot this out as an author, what type of things do you have to take into account when you set this book in the wilderness and you don't have cop characters to consult?
It was way harder than I would thought. For 30 years now, I've written books with investigative techniques. Now, I live in the mountains in New Hampshire. I'm an avid hiker. I spent a lot of my life outdoors. I took some survival wilderness courses. I interviewed with search and rescue experts. And like any kind of procedural thing, here are steps you take. These are elements you do. Working with search and rescue dogs, here are steps we take. Here are things we do. But the fun of this book for me was, it wasn't just Frankie got to be so fish out of water, so uncomfortable. I got to be uncomfortable, too. And the logical questions I had and you have as the reader are inevitably the next thing Frankie must consider. Okay, my job, my superpower is talking to neighbors and getting them to actually talk to me. I am in the middle of Wyoming without even cell signal or satellite phone. There are no neighbors. There are no witnesses, or there's no human witnesses. Who do I talk to? How do I actually assist with a wilderness search when I have no basis for that whatsoever? And how she answers that question becomes kind of part of the fun and intriguing nature of the book.
I'm chatting with Lisa Gardner about her brand new novel, One Step Too Far. It's available everywhere. It's a continuation of the character of Frankie Elkin, who we met about a year ago. And Lisa, I love the title of the book, One Step Too Far. And when I look back through the titles of your previous books, sometimes the title refers to a character, sometimes it refers to a particular action in the story or a, you know, something ironic. When you consider the title, if you have any input in it, how do you determine whether you're going to have the title refer to a character itself or to an action?
I think different books get titled different ways. In the case of One Step Too Far, I mean, it is a book about, you know, hiking in the remote wilderness, so the one step was great. But I think for most of us, we liked it because it kind of referred to both. Frankie keeps pushing herself. She keeps doing things that are very dangerous. And again, she's a volunteer. She's not a private investigator. She's not hired for any of this. At what point in her life and the choices she's making does she take one step too far? And of course, the title is a bit of an adage for what's going on in the wilderness. And pushing yourself a little bit too much can suddenly have very deadly consequences, as they start to find out, because it's not just that a search party of eight goes in the woods. Search party of eight goes in the woods, and then really bad things start to happen. I kind of refer to it as, and then there were none, goes for a hike.
the character's motivation here, Frankie's motivation, is really a do-gooder. And in my mind, and just because I happened to read it recently, it reminds me of the Peter Ash character that Nick Petrie has created.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to Nick earlier this week, and I looked at the front of his book, and there is a quote on there from you. It says, explosive and engaging, dot, 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 a wild ride. Did the editor cut out a swear word there for that dot, dot, dot?
I'm not actually sure what they cut out, but I really enjoyed that book. And it also comes out at the same time mine does. So if people want great reads, there's Nick Petrie's Runaway. I think we're all drawn to the vigilante is not always the right word. The outsider trying to do good. Because I think we're at a moment in time when our trust in the establishment is not what it used to be. So we want to at least believe our neighbors or someone out there is willing to make a difference. Frankie's also been compared to, Lee Child's Jack Reacher, except, she does have a toothbrush. I just want the record to show she has clothing and a toothbrush. It's not much, but it's something.
But, when you have your character here and she's that outsider, one of the advantages is you're not bound by the procedural things, the political things, and the constitutional things that somebody in the establishment would be bound by. So does that give you some sort of freedom as well?
Yes and no. I thought one of the important things in writing Frankie's story is that she's not ex-military. She's not ex-anything. She's a current bartender and a recovering addict. So she's using much more common sense and really what we used to call people skills, but I believe technically now they refer to it as social engineering. And this is going on in the real world. The whole inspiration for Frankie Elkin came is that there are people now, lay people, who are getting more and more involved with these missing person cold cases. Because generally, once a certain span of time has gone on, forensics was going to solve it. It would have happened. If the police could have cracked it, they would have. So an outsider's point of view is often what is the logical next step. The person asking the right questions at the right time, honestly, generally not affiliated with law enforcement. And it's been amazing the difference, again, in the real world that's made. And so for Frankie, it's like it's bringing that to the table. She's not trying to necessarily color outside the lines, though she gets obsessed. She definitely gets determined, and at a certain point, she just must find the truth. It's all great characters.
It seems like Frankie would make a good podcaster for these true crime things that are all the rage. You agree?
Yes, I'm hoping we're going to have Hillary Swank signed on board last year to her and E1 production to bring Frankie to the small screen in some kind of like limited series with Hillary Swank playing the role of Frankie, which I think would be totally awesome.
When you sign off on something like that, you sell away the rights. Do you retain any creative control? I mean, do you have any interest in writing TV?
I don't know how to write TV, so I'm looking forward to the ride. I had a wonderful conversation. I got to Zoom with Hillary Swank. You're an author. I don't care who you are. That's like a pinnacle of your career. So I'm good. I'm happy.
As you sit down to write her, though, and you considered it a one-off maybe when you started writing this. Was this something that the second book came about just by happenstance, the success of the first one?
It was really, again, because of the crime issue. I think I'm known for my characters, and I would argue I'm a character-driven novelist and known kind of for psychological suspense. But at the end of the day, I read a lot of true crime. I read a lot of, current events, what's happening in the world. And inevitably, that's what sparks things. So I started to read about this whole thing, all the people that are missing in the woods. And here I am living in the woods, and I'm a huge hiker in the woods, and no one's even looking for them. It kind of struck me that should be a book. And of course, that story is most fitting for Frankie.
The trivia question that I've been having fun with this week is about how many people that go missing in the U.S. each year in total, not just in the woods. 600,000-ish. That's a hell of a lot of people.
Yeah. I was guessing 500,000 off the top of my head. So, yeah, 600,000.
And I, yeah. to me, that's, you know, you think of coronavirus numbers and they're somewhat comparable, but that's just an unbelievable amount of people. And the fact that you're drawing light to that fact in this book, especially in the wilderness part, is just amazing. The book is One Step Too Far. It's the latest novel by Lisa Gardner. It involves the Frankie Elkin character that we loved now for a year or so. And go out and pick up this new book. Lisa, just another fantastic book from you, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.